What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
At a college fair, she ran into an advisee from 20 years ago when she first started that still had, at the time, they had a little like Education USA membership, like a membership card for the advising center, just to, you know, that they would show, just to show that they're a bona fide Education USA advisee. And she met the student, and the student's son 20 years later was actually attending an Education USA college fair, and now learning about study opportunities in the U.S. So talk about full circle.
That is Luis Cardenas, Regional Manager for South Asia with Education USA REAC. Hello, I'm your host, Venkatraman. International has always been a part of Luis's vocabulary. He was the first international studies major at Albion College. He had lots of international student friends on campus, and he loved traveling. That led him to opportunities in international recruiting, international admissions over the last 15 years. Today, Luis is the regional manager for South Asia with Education USA REAC, based in New Delhi, India. On our podcast, Luis talks about his background, Education USA, his role, how it helps international students, education advisors, five-step process, international student trends and challenges, and his advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
I have the privilege of serving as the Education USA REAC Regional Manager for South Asia. In this role, I work closely with about 30 dedicated Education USA advisors in six countries. REACs collaborate closely with the U.S. Department of State, U.S. embassies, and consulates throughout South Asia to promote higher education opportunities in the United States. So our advising services will involve, typically involve advising students through, through, we have a five-step process. So through step one, through all the way to completion of their application or what we call pre-departure, getting them ready to actually embark on the journey to the U.S. Our advisors, we're very lucky. They're some of the most compassionate, committed individuals that you'll ever encounter. And as soon as they are hired, we have a whole onboarding and training process, in addition to professional development opportunities that we REACs will nominate them for. Have a strong relationship with our college counseling communities in country. Actively not only visit their schools and offer programming, but offer workshops, training workshops for the guidance counselors themselves. I always tell students to keep their options open when applying to colleges in the U.S. because the education landscape is incredibly diverse and offers so many wonderful opportunities. So it's important for them to apply to various schools, not too many, but it's going to increase their chances of finding the best fit for their academic and personal goals. Additionally, they may discover institutions that offer financial aid or scholarship that align with their budgetary needs.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters. Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Lewis. So without further ado, here's the podcast with Lewis Cardenas.
If you are ready, we can jump right in.
Sounds great. I think I'm as ready as I'll be.
I'm sure you're just breathing and living this every day. So wonderful. So maybe the best place to start is tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into all this.
Sure, that sounds great. So hello, everyone. Hi, listeners. My name is Lewis Cardenas again, and I'm currently based in New Delhi, India. I have the privilege of serving as the Education USA REAC Regional Manager for South Asia. In this role, I work closely with about 30 dedicated Education USA advisors in 6 countries. REACs collaborate closely with the U.S. Department of State, U.S. embassies, and consulates throughout South Asia to promote higher education opportunities in the United States. So my portfolio, again, is South Asia, the 6 countries of Nepal, Bangladesh, India, Bhutan, Maldives, and Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. And again, there are other REACs, or about 12 other REACs that are located in different cities around the globe that manage their own designated portfolio. Before joining the Education USA Network, my career in international education took me to various positions. I was the Assistant Director of International Admissions and International Partnerships and Special Programs mm-hmm. at Michigan State University. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I held leadership roles such as Dean of International Enrollment at St. Peter's University in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I was also Associate Director of Admissions and International Student Services at Metropolitan College of New York and Director of International Student Recruitment at Albion College in Michigan. Mm-hmm. My academic background, I hold a master's degree in International Public Service and Nonprofit Management from DePaul University mm-hmm. and a Bachelor's of Arts in International Studies from Albion College. Mm-hmm. I have more than 15 years of experience. I've had the opportunity to travel extensively to over 130 countries and all 7 continents. My expertise primarily concerns international admissions, recruitment, support, and outreach. And over the years, I've been lucky to be featured at several international conferences hosted by esteemed organizations that are involved in the area of higher education. So thank you. Thank you again for this opportunity to chat with you on this excellent podcast series.
How did you get into this whole, not just admissions, but international admissions? What drew you into this?
Yeah, about 6 years after graduating from Albion College, I received a surprising a phone call from my college mentor. Mm-hmm. She called me and said, Lewis, we've heard that schools are actively recruiting international students. And we remembered your passion for traveling. You were the first international studies major at Albion College. Mm-hmm. And we remember that you had tons of international student friends when you were on campus. Would you be interested in working in admissions and recruiting international students for your alma mater? Uh-huh. At that time, I was deeply involved with a program that the Illinois State Board of Education was running that involved working with adults that were interested in switching careers and becoming bilingual educators. Yeah. And I really loved what I was doing. So I had no intentions of leaving, but due to some persistent emails and eventually on a drive home, a phone call from the then president of Albion College, I decided to give it a shot and applied for the position. And looking back, I'm thrilled that I did.
When did you join Education USA? How long ago was that?
So I joined Education USA about almost two and a half years ago.
Okay. Okay. So, broadly tell us what Education USA tries to do. I know it's in a, you know, I think 175 countries, if I remember my reading right. But what is sort of the mission? What is it trying to accomplish?
Yeah, definitely. So the mission of Education USA is to promote U.S. higher education to students and to offer accurate and comprehensive information and to support those students that are interested in pursuing their dream, their academic goals of studying in the United States. Its broader mission is to facilitate international student mobility, foster cultural exchange, and promote cross-cultural understanding by connecting those students worldwide with the bountiful opportunities that the United States offers.
Of course, of course. So how is it set up? How do you guys go about doing this?
Yeah, so Education USA is administered and funded by the U.S. Department of State, which oversees its activities and initiatives. The Institute for International Education, which has offices worldwide, is administers the Education USA program, again, which is funded by the U.S. Department of State. Sure. And IIE, the Institute for International Education, oversees its initiatives. Education USA staff, the U.S. Department of State, partner with staff at the Institute for International Education that manage the Education USA portfolio, REACs. So the 12 REACs scattered across the globe. Also, we report to the Institute for International Education, but we also, again, work closely with our colleagues at the U.S. Department of State.
So how do you bring this mission to life, so to speak, in each country? How do you go about, talking to students, getting them engaged, and what do you offer them?
Yeah, so our advising services they're going to entail quite a number of things. So our advising services will typically involve advising students through we have a 5-step process. So through step one, through all the way to completion of their application or what we call pre-departure, getting them ready to actually embark on the journey to the U.S. Our advising centers, Venkat, will offer resources. So many have libraries, which have books, brochures, access to online materials to help students explore U.S. Higher education options that are available during regular office hours, sometimes even on weekends, sometimes during evening special events or programming. They offer test preparation. So most of our advising centers will connect students. If they don't have testing centers themselves, they'll help students prepare for standardized tests like the TOEFL, IELTS, Duolingo, the SAT, SAT, GRE, GMAT. Students can also visit centers and gain access to scholarship and financial aid information. Again, they're going to receive application assistance depending on where they're at. Some students have completed their application. Some students have no idea how to get started. So all of our advisors are well equipped to help them in any step of their journey. Education USA also tries to do their best to prepare students so they're confident when they're applying for their visas. So they work closely with the U.S. Embassy and consulates to help provide students information about the visa application process. And that usually involves, working closely with the consular section. So they get to actually meet a visa officer. So that kind of demystifies the whole process. The pre-departure orientation again is a great resource, because we know that every college and university in the U.S. say has a very robust international student orientation that students go through, but ours is kind of like a mini version of it, which is only gonna make them feel even more prepared, more confident before they step foot on campus. So we talk about culture shock, housing, academic expectations. That usually involves a faculty member coming to talk to students about a plagiarism and the resources on campus, what to expect. Common issues that international students might face, or even like, do you worry about opening up a bank account? How soon can you, can you work on campus? Things like that. This is all in addition to the webinars and workshops that our advising centers will hold either in person or virtually throughout the year. So, we do all this. We do all this by collaborating with U.S. University admissions officers, faculty, staff members. In addition, we work with amazing organizations like Mobility International USA that empowers people with disabilities worldwide to achieve their human rights through international exchange and development.
How do you find these advisors in the different countries? I mean, how do you guys recruit them? Are they sort of consultants? How do you, I guess, find these people, and how do you go about organizing all that?
Definitely. Well, we depend on our host centers to identify our advisors. So REACs, although we aren't their direct supervisor, we sometimes are involved in the hiring process, but the advisors are hired primarily by the host organization. So that could be the U.S. Embassy or consulate. That could be a Fulbright commission, organizations like AMID East, the American Councils. These are all organizations that we work closely with. Our advisors, we're very lucky. They're some of the most compassionate, committed individuals that you'll ever encounter. And as soon as they are hired, we have a whole onboarding and training process, in addition to professional development opportunities that we REACs will nominate them for. So those are usually conferences in the US that they're able to attend and gain more information, or even a regional opportunities as well too, in addition to those overseas opportunities that are usually in the US. Some of those opportunities could be familiarization tours that our USHEI colleagues offer from time to time. And again, the network has a very in-depth program that advisors are nominated to. We call it an advisor training institute. And throughout an advisor's career journey, they are nominated to these advisor trainings that allow them to dive deeper and even work closely with not only their assigned REAC, but it might be a REAC in a different region.
So how do students find you?
Definitely. So the most effective approach is for students to explore educationusastate.gov and connect with their nearby advising center. But most students easily find EducationUSA by using any online search engine, and usually can get connected through the various social media platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. The majority of our advising centers have an active social media presence, and they can easily connect with an advisor through those methods. Those are consistently updated with valuable content, offering the latest in-person and virtual programming and events, including quite a bit of recorded content.
The services the advisors provide, is that, can it be kind of from soup to nuts, as in from the start of the process till the application submission, or is it only focused on certain areas?
Yeah, again, we employ a five-step process guide students, but they are encouraged to join us at any point along their educational journey. So as I mentioned, some students are pretty savvy or well prepared, and they may just join us for one of the college fairs or events just to have the opportunity to connect either virtually or in person to a U.S. HEI rep, or, you know, at times we host an alumni fair. So maybe they can have an opportunity to engage with an alum from a university on their short list. And in fact, we actually have quite a few of alums that we still stay in touch with, our advisors. We have, I'll share just a short story. We had an advisor here in New Delhi, India. She's been an advisor for 20 years. Wow. And at a college fair, she ran into an advisee from 20 years ago when she first started, that still had, at the time they had a little like Education USA membership, like a membership card for the advising center, just to, you know, that they would show, just to show that they're a bona fide Education USA advisee. And she met the student, and the student's son 20 years later was actually attending an Education USA college fair, and now learning about study opportunities in the US. So talk about full circle. These advisors still stay in touch with students even many years after they've even after completing their journey to the U.S. and they're encouraged to come back and attend an alumni fair or serve as a volunteer for a future event. Lots of those great stories in this field.
No question. Now, do you are all these services free, or do you also have some premium or paid for services?
Yeah. So the majority of services are going to be free in the entire Education USA network. The access to online content, the five steps. A few centers offer some enhanced services, more one-on-one advising, but it's like a minimal fee, and that would go right back towards a programming or resources for the center. But a student would never be denied access whatsoever to any Education USA services. So that's something that we're really proud of. That the U.S. government is providing this accurate, comprehensive, non-biased resource for students to gain access to get the key. Our advisors' primary goal is to give students the resources to have them make the best informed decision for themselves. So advisors are, you know, they might help narrow down the 4,000 amazing options available in the U.S. for study, but ultimately they will never tell a student you should apply here or you have to apply here. It's what do you think makes the most sense for you?
Got it. Transitioning to another aspect, you know, I don't know how many international students look for financial assistance. I'm guessing quite a few of them do. How do you go about sort of helping them find sources for financial aid in addition to what colleges provide? What is available for international students?
Education USA definitely assists students with finding financial aid opportunities in the U.S. So they're going to provide an updated list of scholarships, grants, financial aid options available to students. So we do this by maintaining strong relationships with the U.S. Embassy or consulates in each country, the broader higher education USA community, and local government entities too. So having these relationships are crucial in keeping our advisors well informed about the full spectrum of available resources. So this will allow students to maximize their access to both domestic and international financial aid.
So what are you finding with international students? I mean, what are the trends over the last couple of years that you've seen, things that are happening more often than not, that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. Well, again, I'm based in India, and I've had the pleasure of recruiting here in India for over 10 years. And I've definitely seen a shift in the Indian mentality. And this is probably evident in other recruitment markets or areas of the world too. So, you know, students today, they do have unprecedented access to information. And it's evident that rankings continue to wield significant influence in their decision-making process. While rankings are one of many tools, they should not be the sole determining factor when students are faced with the daunting task of choosing from the nearly 4,000 exceptional colleges and universities in the U.S. So I think that's been a trend that I don't it going away. I've actually seen students embrace it more, and I think part of it is just parental pressure too. Even though their parents may have not gone to a high-ranked university themselves, they still feel that ranking or the value for investment means that, you know, if we're gonna spend the money, we need it to be the highest ranked institution possible. So so that's one trend. The other trend I'm seeing is a confusion with test optional. So I'm sure, I know you've covered this, I'm sure, in your podcast series with other guests, but you know, numerous schools have transitioned to a test optional admissions policy, but for many families, they're misconstruing what TEPS optional means, and they're replacing the standardized test with other things. So they're pushing their children to enroll in an excessive number of AP courses. So we're seeing that here in India, where some students are, and they're taking 8 to 9 or even more AP courses. And again, that's coming from this idea that, oh, well, the school is test optional, so we have to provide them something else to make up for it. So I think it's important, you know, that we recognize that test optional doesn't equate to substituting tests with alternative measures.
That's right. Any hurdles that you see with international students that you might, you know, obviously there's the question of distance and culture, but are there any interesting observations in terms of challenges over these years that you've recruited international students and now?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, going back to just students who limit themselves to applying exclusively to selective schools, you know, they may face disappointment or find themselves without a backup plan. And then feel rushed trying to find a school last minute that may accept them. So, you know, it's imperative for students to maintain that list of 3 to 5 institutions that are a good fit for them and that they would genuinely be excited to attend. I think that's essential, you know, and I'm going back to my own college journey. You know, it wasn't easy to narrow down the list, but once you narrow down the list of, you know, five institutions, you know, you're excited. You know, it doesn't matter who gives you that acceptance letter, but you're just excited that you did receive an offer. But if some students unfortunately still just apply to one school and it's, you know, sometimes one of those highly selective institutions, which are great institutions of learning, but they don't necessarily have a backup plan. The other challenges too is just students missing out on the valuable Education USA advising resources that are free. So I've worked with so many students that, you know, they believe they have all the answers and don't require any assistant. As you know, part of the beauty of the U.S. education system is the wealth of resources available to students. And Education USA is just one of those resources that's accessible even before embarking on their educational journey. So, you know, I want to make sure students don't miss out and they connect with their local advising center sooner rather than later. And, you know, I think finally students need to have those conversations with their parents about, you know, financial viability, you know, what schools align with their academic and financial considerations. Education is an investment. You know, I tell students your degree is it appreciates value over time. It's one of the few things that actually appreciates value. So it's important that students make a wise investment. And their choice is crucial. And, you know, students need to ask these questions and have these discussions with their family and with their Education USA advisor or their high school guidance counselor or teacher or mentor. You know, is it financially sensible? Maybe beginning at a community college and then transferring makes the most sense for me academically and financially. Perhaps it's better to consider schools that offer strong academic programs and scholarships, even if they weren't initially on a student's radar.
Do you find a lot of international students, especially from India, even looking at community colleges? Is that on the list at all, or what do you find?
Yeah, that's going back to the trends. That is a trend that I'm seeing a change in the way students and families are thinking. We now have we actually have regional community colleges now recruiting students, demystifying what a community college is. And they do such a great job, right? I mean, I'm sure you're very familiar with community colleges and the facilities that they offer, the job shadowing opportunities and the articulation agreements. I mean, you're located in California, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm in the Bay Area, San Francisco.
Yeah, so the community colleges there, how they're just so well connected, and it's just a natural pipeline to many of the schools in the California area and the Bay Area, or even in surrounding states or across the country. So that is also something that I think is changing. I know Education USA is also working to try to promote community colleges as a study option.
No question. You know, I think it's more a mental block, I think, and maybe lack of awareness to some extent, or maybe a lack of education.
Absolutely.
Well.
And then even again, depending on the country, right? The word college sometimes in that in that country might still mean high school. So they're still trying to get over the fact that they're like, why would I want to go back to high school? Like, I'm already in high school. So, you know, that's just a little bit of, again, educating the populace of what, how we interchangeably use college and university in the U.S. when we're speaking about higher education.
No, obviously, Education USA offers a plethora of services and is doing great, yeoman service for students and parents. Now, how can others help? How can college counselors, what kind of assistance can Education USA, for example, get in its mission, for its mission? I'm just thinking of different college counselors, information. What are the kinds of things that might add more value or help be more successful?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a strong relationship with our college counseling communities in country. Yeah. Actively not only visit their schools and offer programming, but offer workshops, training workshops for the guidance counselors themselves. In mm-hmm. some countries, the notion or the idea of a guidance counselor doesn't exist. So it usually lies on a school administrator or maybe in a alum of that has studied in the U.S. that wants to provide access to students. So, but we greatly appreciate it when guidance counselors, college counselors can provide information of our upcoming events to their mm-hmm. students. We understand that also many college admissions officers in the U.S. or regional representatives excel at using their institutional resources to share tailored information to prospective students. Sometimes by pushing a button, they can send targeted information quite rapidly. And anytime we can offer a program that might be helpful for a student, whether that's a guidance or college counselor in the country, or even an admissions officer in the U.S. that is trying to recruit students from a certain area around the world, sharing that information, our advisors can easily provide information via email or a PD flyer attachment, and we welcome that. We welcome when U.S. higher education institution representatives can share that information. We welcome them to collaborate with us in offering some of the dynamic programming, and we welcome ideas too. We're always trying to stay on the relevant and stay on the pulse with what this generation wants and needs too. So we always welcome ideas for programming too.
So Lewis, we're going to start winding down, but it'd be great if you could, I know along the way you've provided a lot of advice for students, but I thought it might be an opportunity to just provide maybe in a nutshell, some of the top pieces of advice for high school students who are looking at U.S. Colleges.
Yeah, I think what I tell students to this day, anytime I have the opportunity to interact with students, I don't get that opportunity as much as I used to being an international admissions representative. But I always tell students to keep their options open when applying mm-hmm. to colleges in the U.S. because the education landscape is incredibly diverse and offers so many wonderful opportunities. So it's important for them to apply to various schools, not too many, but it's going to increase their chances of finding the best fit for their academic and personal goals. Additionally, they may discover institutions that offer financial aid or scholarship that align with their budgetary needs. So keeping their options open not only allows them to explore different programs, locations, regional cultures, but hopefully that's not only going to open up their mind, but possibly doors that may help them later down the line of their academic and professional journey.
No, that's terrific. So that's great advice, Lewis. And any closing thoughts before we wind down here?
For those students and families listening out there, I hope that this was helpful for you. And I encourage you to get connected with your local Education USA Advising Center.
No, this has been awesome, Lewis. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about Education USA and the work that you do and the hope that you provide for students as they pursue their higher education in the U.S. And I'm sure we want to talk more again in the future as things progress. But for right now, take care, be safe, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Venkat. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Lewis Cardenas of Education USA REAC. Lewis gave us a great overview of Education USA and its mission of supporting international students pursue academic goals in the U.S. Specifically, Lewis shared the following: Education USA's mission, advising services and resources for international students, a five-step process, financial aid opportunities, and trends and challenges for students. If you are an international student, do reach out to Education USA in your country. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College Matters.
Alma Matters.